Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Head to dirtylabs.com and use code PODCAST to get 20% off your first order.
Welcome into another episode of the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
It feels good to be right sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my bragging out of the way here as I picked the correct Stanley Cup winner and Frank did not. This is how it's called humble bragging, because I'm immediately going to go to the fact that I thought that Cleveland was going to win a game. Oh, I'm such a fool, a naive fool. We'll get to that in a bit. Might have a surprise visit. Don't know yet. That's how we play it here on the Leftovers Podcast. All right, Frank, Stanley Cup Final. Yep. Hockey season's over.
Wow.
Alex Ovechkin lifts the cup, and one single tear ran down my eye.
I love it. I loved it. I know I picked Vegas, but I can't be mad with Ovechkin winning. I can't. It's Ovechkin. It's one of my favorite players.
Yeah. And that's the thing about Washington winning this cup. I think there's such a feel-good story.
That's the best part about the cup this year.
It was going to be a feel-good story.
No matter what.
No matter what. And there are going to be people that naturally hate the Washington Capitals.
Because they don't like Ovechkin.
Well, yeah, there's division rivals. I mean, Pittsburgh had a three-peat ruined by Evgeny Kuznetsov in his Flappy Bird celebration. Whereas, and they're also, you know, they're division rivals. Most division rivals are going to hate it. Rangers fans, blah, 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 blah. Apparently Larry Brooks from the New York Post. Yeah. So there's going to be people that naturally hate what happened here.
Yeah, I saw the tweet. Erase his losing. Yes, it does.
Hang on. Ready? If you're going to have a take, put more on it.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
I'm going to challenge you on it intellectually first before I slam you. Because if you're going to have that take, well, it's not popular, but can you back it up? Can you put more to it? Put more pen to paper on that. I clicked on it to really see what he had to say. Because it's a headline that screams clickbait, but I was like, you know what? I want to see the controversial take. And he didn't really go into it that much. It was more of like a scattering of opinions as the season ended. So I was a little disappointed about that part. Because I would have liked to see what he means by that. Because, by the way...
So he's just salty.
Yes. By the way, Alex Ovechkin always showed up in the playoffs.
Yeah, people don't realize that. Like, because it's the easy target.
Yes.
When your team loses, it's easy to blame the best player.
Of course, and the captain.
It's easy to do it. Yeah, it's always easy to do it. That's why, you know, it's the same thing in the NBA. It's the same thing in football. It's the same thing in baseball. It's the same thing in all sports, all team sports. It's easy to just blame the best player, blame the captain.
Mm-hmm.
When reality is, you got to look at the big picture.
Yeah. I get that. I think that
like you're gonna get people who are gonna say, "Well, Cleveland got swept. That's because LeBron didn't play well,"
which is nowhere
near the truth. Exactly, the team is bad around him.
I don't know. I don't think they could say that this year.
You're gonna get people who say it. You're gonna get
that. Doesn't mean they're right.
Exactly. That doesn't mean they're right.
But
I'm saying that people are going to say it. In this case, yeah. you got one who is a paid writer.
Yeah, I was being very case specific with LeBron there after seeing J.R. Smith run the wrong way with the basketball, thinking
like,
I had the lead.
How many like
Henrik Lundqvist?
Yeah, how many people are blaming?
Listen, Brooksy, why don't you turn back into your own yard and see what's going on there before you start throwing rocks at other houses.
When the Sabres finally make the playoffs and they're expected to go far, then they don't. People are going to blame Eichel.
People are already blaming Eichel.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I understand. I do.
Exactly.
What I'm saying, though, is if you're going to do that,
you got to be able to back it up.
More people
aren't going to do it because they can't. Because they're trying to take the easy way out.
Yeah.
And they're not able to back up their words.
If you're going to bring a controversial take, you got to back it up. Absolutely, 100%.
You could say just with any kind of take. It's something, you know, you can say that with anything, really.
Yeah, that is true. But you got to back it up.
You always got to back up what you say.
Because I was genuinely curious.
Right.
I wasn't necessarily angry for the sake of a controversial take. You know, when Skip Bayless says that LeBron disappeared for Game 5. Nice job, jackass. See, this is why I said pudding a couple weeks ago, Frank. That would have literally been smarter than what that was.
You're right.
Thank you. It's very rare I get to hear that.
I know, right?
It's even more rare for Skip Bayless to hear that. Oh, my God.
By the way, how about Ovechkin with Yeah.
Yo.
He is doing everything.
He is every 22-year-old on his last year of college going on the bender.
Yeah. It's true.
Alex Ovechkin is super relatable right now to everybody. Doing some form of snow angels in a fountain. Doing keg stands out of the cup.
At the Nationals game.
In the middle of the inning, while play is going on, he's hoisting the cup randomly in his seat. Alex Ovechkin is all of us right now.
He is every 22-year-old.
On the bender. Like, it's the last hurrah before you have to go into the real world.
It's fantastic. The parade is Tuesday, I believe, too.
Yes.
Oh, my God. We got to watch that parade.
Dude.
We got to watch it. We're going to watch it. It's going to be... Oh, my God. He is going to be...
We might need a reaction plastic. Cast.
You might need one.
Alex Ovechkin is on the bender to end all benders.
It's awesome.
And it's amazing.
Yeah. See, this is why hockey's awesome.
Alex Ovechkin was
These are, like
Backstrom, Carlson, and Ovechkin at the presser before they threw out the ceremonial first pitch at the Nationals game.
Which Ovechkin had to do twice.
All were asking for water.
Yeah.
Why?
I wonder.
Because they're getting sloshed every day right now. This is just, oh my God. It's so fun to see, but at the same time, I'm about 7% sure he might die now.
No, come on, he's rushing. He's not going to, all that alcohol is not going to kill him.
That won't kill him, no. Okay, maybe I'm like 0.7% sure he's going to die. Because dumb things do happen with alcohol, you do know that.
Yeah, but there's also going to be a lot of people around him who
That's
aren't
a good point.
Drunk.
I know.
He's got a posse.
But at the same time, he is
he is
partying it up like a frat house right now.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Like an entire frat house, just him.
That's also what hockey players do.
Just saying, man. Something's going to happen. Well, I'm not sure of that. I'm 0.7% sure of that. So that's not very sure.
We'll watch the
I'm guessing.
The parade in D.C. You're going to see something really stupid happen.
That plays into what I'm saying here, Frank.
Like, it's going to... It might not even be Ovechkin. It's probably going to be somebody else. I mean...
John Carlson right before he hits free agency?
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that be unfortunate?
Well, not something, like, bad. I'm just saying something, like, stupid. Like, I think the funny one was... I think I remember a funny one a couple years ago. Pittsburgh was having theirs in 2016. Ole Mata was... pictured napping, like almost butt naked on like a patio. I remember when the Kings first parade in 2012.
Oh, Jonathan Quick dropped an F bomb live on the air.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. Yeah, Jonathan Quick was messed up.
Yeah. That's the thing I mean about something stupid.
Alex Ovechkin already swore on the air in the playoffs.
Yeah, he did.
Just please bleeping score.
Yeah.
So you better bet someone's dropping. You better, like, they better have the delay on the TV cameras. Absolutely TV delay. Gotta have
You're
it.
You're gonna need it.
Gotta need it. Because that's what happens when you win the cup and you start partying Ovechkin style.
Yeah.
Which we didn't know was even a thing.
All it took was him winning the cup.
And now we're seeing only 2 days in. This could get terrifying. Kind of want to be around it.
I love hockey players.
Kind of want to be around it right now.
Yeah, I do too.
Just to witness the wackiness that's going on.
Yeah.
All right, so enough about the summer of Ovi. More about the team and the series that was unexpectedly quick. 5 games and a Washington team that pretty much stifled Vegas for the most part, especially in a 3-game stretch.
Yeah, it was, as we were talking about earlier, Washington was able to force Vegas to play with the puck in the offensive zone a lot more than what Vegas is used to. And they just weren't able to get anything set up. Their Washington structure, they were able to get guys in position a lot quicker than Vegas was able to move the puck. And they were able to block a lot of shots, get in the passing lane, and shut down any shooting lane. I mean, you can tell when some players are about to shoot, and they're just not able to.
Yeah.
And Holtby was a beast.
Yes. I do think it was more on the team structure. And that was the first time we saw, really, this year for an extended stretch, where a team could alter what Vegas wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that was huge. That's one of those things where Vegas actually got forced to play a different style of game, and they were so used to dictating play that you finally saw a team lose 3 straight in the postseason, lose 4 straight, actually, in the postseason because...
Yeah.
They were forced to play someone else's game. They were forced to have to do something else. They were forced away from their strong suits, and they didn't have the skill and firepower overall to really be able to make the difference because of that.
Yeah.
Not to say what they did was not, it was all for naught, but it does have something to say that, well, they do need a big time player. They do. And they'll get one eventually. It's just right now what they have is a team. And if you could force the team in its entirety to play a different style of hockey, well, there's what you see. A competitive but not championship team.
You give them that big-time player.
That changes things.
That does change things.
Because then you have to worry about that player. Marchessault, really good. Riley Smith, pretty good. Yep. William Karlsson, we'll see. But definitely has some skill to score 40 goals.
Pretty good. I'll put pretty good.
Definitely got to be at least good to score 40 goals in this league.
Yeah.
However, was it fluke? We don't know. We're going to see looking forward. I'd like it to not be the case.
If it's not a fluke, but he'll score like 30 goals next season and have a shooting percentage of around 11%.
Yeah, if he goes back down to the league median in percentage and he still gets 30 goals, then you know something's real.
Yeah.
But you saw him disappear in this finals.
Yeah. Yeah, big time.
Marchessault showed up. The fourth line showed up.
Boy, did that fourth line show up.
Everyone else kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
Fleury included.
Yeah. Now, I said right at the start, Fleury's going to be the difference.
Now, it was pointed out by Joe DiBiase that the save percentages, there was no save percentage better than 900 in the four series against the Capitals. And that was by Sergei Bobrovsky in the first round. How much credit should we be giving the Capitals? I think you got to give them a lot. Because it wasn't just that Ovechkin and Kuznetsov were scoring at will, which they were. You got depth.
What was Washington's goals per game throughout the playoffs?
It was about 3.5 goals per game there, Frank. And, dude, if you look at the differential, by the way, that also was key. I want you to guess the second best differential in the playoffs, which team it belonged to.
Goal differential? I'm gonna say Winnipeg.
You are right. You might have also seen the screen in time.
No, I didn't see the screen. I don't even know.
Winnipeg also played three less games, but they had the second best goal differential of 11. Washington had a goal differential of 25. That's solid team defense and goaltending. Wow. That's not just a goalie anymore. That's a system and a team defense. Everyone buying in and playing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
A 25 goal differential in 24 games.
Yeah.
So even in games that they lost.
It was the games that they lost was close. And then, but then they had more game. They had a lot of games where they were blowing out the water.
Putting points up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at all their games right now. I mean, you had the 6-3 series clincher against Columbus. He had a 6-3 game against Pittsburgh. That was game five. 6-2 against Tampa. 4-2. The 3-4-0 wins in 6-7. And then, the 6-2 win in game four against Vegas.
You know something?
That will skew up the goal differential, but it still doesn't take away the fact that
they didn't get blown out.
Yeah.
Often.
Their worst loss.
Could it have been that 6-4?
That was their worst loss. That, and they had 2-4-2 losses to Tampa. But they never lost by more than 2 goals.
Yeah. That'll do it.
Yeah.
Even in losses, you keep yourself close.
Even in losses, they were in those games.
In the first round, they lost games in overtime.
Yeah.
By default, 1 goal.
Yep. Pittsburgh, Bolter, the one loss was a 3-2. That was game one, and then Game four was 3-1.
By the way, I just noticed something. We didn't get any overtime in the last two rounds. Think about it. Tampa, Washington.
Yeah,
Winnipeg,
no
Vegas.
Overtime.
Washington, Vegas. No overtimes in any of those series. The last overtime game we got was Evgeny Kuznetsov putting the dagger into Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That was the last overtime game.
Yeah. That's interesting. I didn't think of that.
Fun facts. All right. So now,
one of those years.
Guess what?
Last year we had a lot of overtime.
Last time I think it was ridiculous. It was like 17 overtime games, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm going to make sure. But I think it was 17. Oh, my God. Yeah, there were a lot.
There were a lot.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, Derek's 12, doing math. 13, 14, 15. I'm counting. There were 27. I said 17.
27 in the playoffs last year?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That is so much fun.
That's it. That's ridiculous. And then there were only, looks like, 10?
10 this year?
There were 10 this year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Even if it was 17, that's a large gap. Last year, my God, last year was stressful. How many people had cardiac arrest? How many people had a heart attack?
A lot.
Because there were 27 overtime games. That means that there's probably a fair chance that every team had to play in one.
That's probably a fair chance. That's a big probability.
That's a pretty fair chance right there. So now, that leads to the offseason, Frank. It leads to Ryan O'Reilly. It leads to, hey, we are less than two weeks officially from Rasmus Dahlin.
Yep.
Let's go.
I think we're at 12 days.
Yes.
And then there's
after that, John Tavares. Ryan O'Reilly trade speculation.
Yep.
Maybe even Rasmus Ristolainen trade speculation. There's a lot.
To a lesser extent. Yes.
To a lesser extent. I said maybe even. There's a lot to this. And we'll talk about that more in a later day. Now, Frank, I think we just got crashed. I think someone showed up.
Who is that?
Some kid in an Eagles jersey.
Who's this
and
guy?
A hat.
Sounds like a twat.
Starting strong, I see.
What's up, guys?
Louis DiBiase crashing the Leftovers podcast here today.
I got an invite. This is
You did.
I'm an invited guest. Invited's not even a word, is it?
It's not even a word.
All right. Well, I'm making that a word.
Hey, you didn't snub it, though, so.
I'm an invited guest.
There's that.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's start there. T.O. The snub of the Hall of Fame invite. Well, not even invite.
He's snubbing them now.
And I've got mixed feelings on this. Part of me wanted T.O. to be the bigger man in this and kind of just say shove it to all the reporters that kept him out for a couple of years. Should he have been first ballot? Yes. Is this what happened? No. Could he have really stuck it to them by going and busting the narrative on them? Yeah. Absolutely. That was a golden opportunity to do that. No pun intended based on the jacket. This was a great chance for T.O. to do that. And now, unfortunately, this allows writers to peddle their narrative even further and more annoyingly. And that is probably, I think, my biggest problem with it.
Sure.
Is that we're going to keep hearing these false narratives, not false narratives, but like narratives injected with steroids on T.O. And it's going to drive me a little bonkers because I'm not a huge T.O. fan. I'll admit that. But even I know, A, he should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer, and B, more importantly, sometimes media members get crazy with their takes. He could have gone ahead and countered it. He could have even gone up to the podium in Canton and then really gave it to him. It was a golden opportunity for you to hear something else about T.O., something different about T.O., and cast the shadow back where it's supposed to be on the people that didn't vote him in right away.
I think the narrative, though, about T.O., he doesn't buy. So I feel like maybe with his mindset is if he goes to the Hall of Fame and tries to, you know, prove people wrong and, again, like you said, silence the media, I feel like that's more him, you know, buying into their criticism and trying to change that. And I don't think he believes it at all. And, you know, again, I'm like you. I'm not the biggest T.O. guy. I think some of the stories and I think the criticism of him is a little bit fabricated because, like, especially in the time in Philadelphia, with the beef between him and Donovan McNabb, everyone sides with McNabb, but there is multiple Eagles players that have come out and said McNabb was not the greatest teammate. So I don't know how much of it was on T.O. So to me, I'm all for him going to the not going to the Hall of Fame inductee, because look, the reason for him being held out is petty. It's because he rubbed the media the wrong way. That's really what it comes down to. And when you're a guy that has, you know, you're pretty much top 10 in every statistical category all time for an NFL receiver, including second in receiving yards, maybe if it was like a fringe Hall of Famer, then the attitude would be a deciding factor swaying, you know, one way or another. But because T.O. was so historically good as an individual player, you can't keep him out as long as they have, because he might have had issues in the locker room that, honestly, we don't even know the full story of. And honestly, I don't think the media really knows it either. I think it's, again, it's a narrative, it's a perception that's been formed around him that the entirety, every basic, you know, pretty much every journalist that's on the committee has formulated that same opinion about T.O. And I don't think it's warranted, really, to the point where he should have been held out this long, considering the caliber of player he was. Like you said, he should have been a first ballot player just based on his individual accomplishments, just on the football field. Him being a good or bad teammate, it definitely should play a factor into it. But when you're this elite at your position, it shouldn't be a reason to hold him out for as long as you have. And that's why I'm for him not going there and recognizing this enshrinement now, basically, because he should have been in a long time ago. And I would feel salty, too, if I was Terrell Owens.
I was just waiting for the badass opportunity to go to the podium,
stick it to him. Throw
maybe
little jabs in his speech.
Not even just that. At the end of it, just like literally drop the mic, break it. I don't know, something like that. Like
take off the jacket.
Exactly.
Ooh, never mind. I'm starting to change my mind.
You
this would have been a big opportunity.
You
want to
fight petty with petty? Thank you. That's what. Like that's the thing that's upsetting me the most, is that you want to fight petty with petty. Oh, there are ways to fight petty with petty, bro. I am for that. But oh man. There was like
big opportunity.
Big
board.
Opportunity.
Okay. I like that part.
It is a big opportunity. Maybe he'll do it his own way then.
That now here's my other problem, because I have two things about this.
He should do sit-ups in the driveway with the jacket on.
Oh God,
that'd be fun.
Oh God. Here's my other problem, and it's a two-part problem. He makes the Hall of Fame class about him, which is a vintage T.O. move, but B, it disrespects not just the other players that are going into Canton. It also disrespects the fans that wanted to go see him. There are people that bought tickets to attend this.
To see him. But he's come out and congratulated the other guys. He said, you know, we're a team in this. And he's come out and
I know, but
he's
now
taken
salty.
A step. You have to, again, you got to look deeper into it. It's kind of like the anthem protest. From a broad perspective, you can say, yeah, this is, you know, it's disrespectful. But when you actually look into his motivation, I think it's warranted. I wouldn't have gone either. The way they've treated him, his character, it's defamation, really, for him eyes.
Like I said, petty with petty sometimes is a good fight.
I mean, that's how I'd fight it. I'd fight petty with petty.
Sometimes that's a good fight. The problem is, sports writers started this by fighting petty with petty. They didn't like T.O. as a person. They kept him out of the Hall of Fame. They started this 100% without a doubt. However, that doesn't mean that you have to take away from the rest of the Hall of Fame class. Because guess what's going to happen now in Canton? Salty media reporters and writers, they're not going to talk about the other guys anymore.
But honestly,
they're going to talk about the guy that's not there.
But their reaction is proving Terrell Owens' point. See,
but him not going is also proving theirs. It's a double-edged sword where nobody wins and everyone gets annoyed.
It's just the media completely getting so worked up about this. Again, not really understanding his point. Is exactly his point, though. That's the thing. I understand then, too, with the media, him not showing up also proves their point. I guess it depends on where you fall on this debate, and I'm kind of more on Terrell Owens' side here.
I think no one wins here.
And it's not even me defending him as a teammate. I don't know. There are stories, you know, in San Francisco, it's true what kind of teammate Terrell Owens was. He was a problem in the locker room.
Even if he was.
This is more about the Hall of Fame versus Owens to me than him as a teammate. And that's why I'm siding with Terrell Owens here, because I don't think it was fair, even with those stories of his NFL career, that he was held out so long. That's my take on it. I think he should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer.
He should have been. And like I said, it all starts with the media writers not letting him be in that case. However, I just see a scenario where nobody wins. Because now we're not going to be talking about the likes of Brian Urlacher anymore. One of my favorite players growing up.
Brian Dawkins.
One of the best Eagles to ever play.
One of the best safeties to ever play.
One of the best safeties to ever play. One of the most terrorizing players in the back end of a secondary.
And he wore a black visor, which is pretty scary.
He was
as well.
A terror.
He just looked scary.
Brian Dawkins was just one of the most intimidating players in the NFL. We're not going to be talking about those guys as much anymore. Because everyone's going to be talking about T.O.
But I think we should,
like
though.
I said,
I think we need
nobody,
to address the Hall of Fame. I think
nobody
it's,
wins.
I think the Hall of Fame is becoming diluted. And I think the committee, it's a problem. And I'm glad T.O. is bringing this topic to discussion because their approach, I don't think is right. I think the Hall of Fame, honestly, has kind of become something I don't really take that seriously anymore.
You ready? Here's what the Hall of Fame is. Here's what the voters are for every Hall of Fame. Salty ass old journalists that think a certain way is the only way to do things.
And that's why I'm not going to put my
stock
into it.
And they blame us millennials for killing everything.
Right.
Okay? That is what they are. And guess what? That's how it's always going
Did
to be. Why? Because old man journalist is going to old man.
Did you see we're killing the diamond industry? Brand new this week, millennials are killing the diamond industry.
Great.
Yeah. I'm for it. You want to why? The price of diamonds.
Are we still recording?
Yes.
Okay.
To hell with diamonds. Whatever, man. And guess what? Old salty-ass journalist guy is going to hate us for it. And I don't freaking care anymore.
But this is why I want to talk about this instead of Brian Urlacher, because I don't take the Hall of Fame that seriously anymore.
But I love
anymore.
Brian Urlacher, man. Sure, that dude was the reason I played linebacker.
And I'm sure Chicago will be talking about it. But
that dude was the reason I played
linebacker.
We
got bigger fish to fry here.
Before, I found out when I was a kid, I originally had the number 49 when I was playing football. I switched it over to 54 because of Brian Urlacher. I played linebacker because of Brian Urlacher. I appreciated the defensive game because of Brian Urlacher. He was one of my favorite players growing up, undoubtedly. I wish the Bills had a Brian Urlacher. I think we did in London Fletcher, but it wasn't Brian Urlacher. That was like, oh, man. Brian Dawkins was one of the most fearsome safeties in the NFL. And he deserves to be there too, but guess what? Those guys aren't going to get enough hype anymore. And I think that sucks for them. This is where I think nobody wins, because we have to bring up a bitter conversation about salty-ass old men that like to think that it's a certain, there's only one way to do things, and it's forever and never going to change. That is why I think nobody wins in this.
Who should be on the committee? If you were to restart the Pro Football Hall of Fame and you are going to decide who decides to get in, what's the structure of the committee? Because I think it's got to be at least a balance of former players, journalists, GMs, coaches. I don't like the structure the way it is now.
Of course. I don't like it either.
I also think too many people get in. I just don't think the whole Hall of Fame topic. I'm not a fan.
There are players that should be in that still
aren't. I don't know, man. Especially with how stats are getting now in this era. You know,
there's players.
I think there's
going to
be a lot of people that get in that I don't think get in.
And that's my thing, is that there should be some that are in that aren't going to. And that's why I say pump the brakes on that, kid.
It just seems like it's not really that huge of an accomplishment anymore. Because if you were a good player, it almost seems like you can make the case to be a Hall of Famer.
We are entering the era of players that we were growing up watching. And I'm going to be able to really see
cool.
from my own eyes, okay, how good are these guys at putting people in? We're already seeing that they kind of failed one benchmark on this. But outstanding circumstances aside, let's see how they keep doing. Because this is what all that is. All that this Terrell Owens thing is outstanding circumstances. He pissed off people that could vote him into the Hall of Fame. Simple as that.
I don't know why he pissed him off.
Mean?
He gave them stuff to talk about. This
exactly.
I don't understand why journalists get so upset with guys like Terrell Owens, Cam Newton, the bigger personalities that actually give you stuff and emotion when they talk. Shouldn't that be, as a journalist, shouldn't you love talking to those guys? Why do you want to talk to Russell Wilson? To me, that doesn't make much sense. He gave you stories.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he's disliked in the media.
That's a fun little thought there, actually. You know? Writers,
I don't want the narrative. I don't want the
radio
coach speak.
Members, every bit of media. It's always so much easier to focus on the negative. And yet, The guy who generated so many headlines for you on a week-to-week basis, maybe even a day-to-day basis. That's the man you're going to go ahead and criticize now, because that guy probably got you a freaking job.
It's the same criticism with Josh Rosen, and that was Rosen's whole point, is yeah. you tell me, you know, you get upset when people give you coach speak, and then I give you more, and you get upset with it. Like, what do you want him to do?
What do you want him to do?
I don't know, man. You're right, though. It's just a bunch of cranky old guys on the committee. That's why I don't take it really that seriously anymore.
That's fair. And like I said, this is how everyone loses. This is how everyone loses. T.O. loses because he looks like a jackass. The committee loses because they look like jackasses. The players that are going in this year don't get enough talk because we're talking about the jackasses, one side or another. It's all just a bunch of jackasses.
At least T.O. and Bray, he kind of, you think, you can see that he realized
it. To his credit, he kept to his brand. He kept to his strong suit, and that is what I'll give him credit for.
I think this was much more thought out, though, than in his past, where it was a lot of it was just not handled the right way, and it was emotional and very extra. And to me now, I think this was a very calculated decision. He even told Marcus Wiley that it's the wrong thing for the right reason. So he even knows that it's probably not right to not go there and celebrate with the other Hall of Fame member inductees, but it's a fight for him that he's got to take, and I respect that.
Again, I saw a golden opportunity to be bigger than them, and that would have been huge.
He should have made his own jacket and went, like, make a green jacket, kind of like the Masters or something.
You see?
Like the T.O. Hall of Fame, T.O.F. instead of the P.O.F.
Oh, my God, that would have been great.
That would have been great.
See?
I like that. Fight petty with petty. Maybe exactly. That should have been, was, it would have been more fun for us.
There was a golden opportunity there. And, like, I'm not upset about that more so than I just wish that it happened. I also, again, think that this devolves into a conversation that, A, is never really going to be changed, because how do you really restructure the Hall of Fame committee without having a group of people getting upset? And B, I mean, come on. We should be focusing on the entire class, too. And that's the part I think that's the most upsetting to me. Like I said, there are people that were going to go to CTO. Because he was an enigma. You loved him or you hated him. There was no in-between. I fall in that latter side, but even I know that he's been slighted. And I'm not mad at him personally. I'm just mad at what he could have done instead.
Fair point.
So, yeah. That's fair.
It's definitely fair.
I just don't know how fair.
You haven't said enough on this.
How
Frank.
Fair actually?
You're letting us two kind of.
I'm letting Louis go.
How fair actually is? How fair actually is the criticism of Terrell Owens outside of San Fran? You take it outside of San Fran. He didn't really have issues in Dallas. He didn't have issues in Buffalo because there really was nothing to have issues with. They were awful. How are you going to get mad at Ryan Fitzpatrick? And then Cincinnati
or Trent Edwards? I mean,
right. And then Cincinnati. You know, it was for 1 year.
Same with Buffalo.
Carson Palmer. So.
Cincy and Buffalo don't even register on the radar.
So it's mostly the 49ers and Eagles issues. The Niners ones I get, you know. And he is a big personality wide receiver that even if he wasn't a bad teammate, even if some of the attention that was brought to him that he brought, a lot of it wasn't just on him, it was the coaches. They already had this preconceived notion about him, and that kind of started headlines. And basically, if there was anything involving him, they would blame him. And so I understand, like, not wanting that kind of player. It's kind of like Dez Bryant right now. Even if it's not all on Dez Bryant,
a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Then we should stop this conversation of why T.O. gets blamed.
It's
true. Is Odell Beckham going to be on pace to go to the Hall of Fame?
After reading more into it.
Yeah.
After reading,
guess what?
Yeah.
So guess what? It is unfair.
After reading more into it, too, I don't even think it was on him. The Philly situation. It really didn't sound a lot like was his fault. Even the contract issues that people said he was complaining for a new contract the minute he got an extension. He was trying to keep that behind closed doors, and it was actually the Eagles that released the information to kind of look like it was all on him. This is what I'm saying. I think he brought something to the teams, and they kind of made him into what the perception is now.
I remember that Donovan McNabb T.O. spat before they played in that Super Bowl. It was more or less, T.O. got hurt in that postseason, like right before the playoffs, and Donovan McNabb said what he had to say, which was, we'll get there without him. We have to. That's our job, basically.
And
T.O. took it the wrong way. He really did. He thought that was an, oh, you guys don't think that I'm a big part of this team. kind of thing. And he made it about like him being slighted by his quarterback.
Because it wasn't McNabb, meant to be that. Doubt that that was exactly what McNabb was trying to do.
Well, yeah, no, but at the same time, he said it. It was more or less like kind of that player speak, where yeah. you know we're
next
not
man
just,
up.
We're not just T.O. and the offense. We've got to step up, kind of thing. It was that bland ass coach speak.
Todd Pinkston's got to step up,
and exactly
James Thrash,
Todd Pinkston,
wow,
Freddie Mitchell.
Oh my God. 4th and 26. We're 4th and 23.
And that's it.
That's right. Have fun with that, Green Bay. yeah, no, this was... And I just remember that, and then T.O. took it the wrong way, and then that's where your spat came from. And then McNabb got sick in the Super Bowl game, and how do you do that, man?
Well, it was even, too, at one point during that season, Terrell Owens was wide open on a pass, and he went back into the huddle and said, I was open, and Donovan McNabb told him to shut the F up. So... To me, I don't know, man. I don't know how much of it's on Terrell Owens. He's a passionate guy, and I feel like a lot of the time that can rub guys like McNabb the wrong way, and that's what starts the controversy. I don't think it's always on T.O. starting stuff.
I will say, though, that he did.
It's not. He absolutely did, especially in San Fran. San Fran is where it goes wrong.
He allowed himself to be a target. And nowadays, you don't see that target on people's backs anymore.
Do you think he'd be more accepted in the NFL now?
Yes.
With guys like Odell Beckham kind of being the same way?
Antonio Brown puts up the same antics and nobody talks about it.
Right.
So Antonio Brown pouts on the sideline when he's not thrown to in the red zone.
It just kind of comes with the territory with wide receivers, unless your name's Julio Jones. You know, there's a few elite guys that aren't like that, A.J. Green, but... It's pretty worth it when you're talking about these elite talents. I don't think having a big personality is a problem. It's more so when it's becoming a distraction for the team.
Yes. And we've seen differences in that. And sometimes T.O. was that. Sometimes it was blown into a proportion that it shouldn't have been.
None of it was enough, though, to keep him out of the Hall of Fame. I think that's the takeaway here. Because that's the topic here, isn't really was he a good teammate or not. It really comes down to, was that enough to keep him out of the Hall of Fame? And based on how good he was on the field, there's no way it could have.
Correct.
You could argue he's probably a top five receiver of all time.
Statistically, he's pretty much second all-time in receiving yards.
So how...
Top 10 in receptions. Touchdowns.
I don't think it should matter then. At least it should matter a little bit. Like you said, I think it should matter a little bit as to him being in the Hall of Fame. But no matter how you look at it, the numbers say for tell the story.
If it was a fringe Hall of Famer, like yeah, I don't like, know. I mean, is Anquan Boldin a fringe Hall of Famer?
Yeah,
and that so say it. Anquan Boldin had the personality of Terrell Owens. Then to me, it's more that could teeter one way or the other for him.
Yeah,
but again, it's so lopsided how good he was. It can't really play a part. At least that's my approach if I was on the committee.
Yeah, and obviously,
well,
there's
you
be
know
more.
What? It'll all get. This will all get looked at, too, again in years when Antonio Brown retires. And people are going to talk about him for the Hall of Fame.
If Antonio Brown puts up numbers that will put him on pace to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, then we'll see what the hypocrisy is.
If his numbers get close to T.O.'s,
now you see,
he even gets just to top five, and he becomes a first ballot Hall of Famer, then you know how the committee is.
I would call it more or less Antonio Brown is my measuring stick for hypocrisy more so than Odell Beckham, because I think Odell Beckham probably could end up with the same kind of shtick T.O. did. Because he embraces the enigma, he embraces the controversial side of himself, kind of like how Owens did.
I also think because if you're a wide receiver now with a big personality, because guys like Terrell Owens started this, you're seen in a negative light. Whereas it's not as big for the honored quarterback position, where a guy like Ben Roethlisberger can have the biggest attitude ever and can be dramatic and attention drawing all the time and passive aggressive, and that probably won't come into play at all when he's inducted into Hall of Fame, which he will.
Oh,
that'll never be effective.
He's had legal troubles too.
He's had legal troubles, but he's the all hail quarterback position. and it probably won't be questioned. I think that's the other thing that comes with it, too, is that Terrell Owens is a wide receiver. I think that plays a huge part
of
this.
He's also won Super Bowls.
If Terrell Owens won a Super Bowl, this wouldn't have changed anything.
That's what I'm saying. We're going to only talk about Big Ben's accomplishments on the field, both Terrell Owens. That's not the case.
Yeah.
Double standard.
Double standards. There's always double standards. And it's stupid. It's stupid that we even have to talk about this.
Yeah.
Because it's stupid in the first place that T.O. didn't get the first ballot, Hall of Fame induction, which he wouldn't have boycotted or decided to celebrate elsewhere, which then everything else would have been dropped and we would just keep going along. But no, we have to be annoyed by things now. That's how things go. Thanks, jackasses. All y'all jackasses. Speaking of jackasses, Kevin Durant.
Segway grade.
Great segue.
A+.
You just love it because I hate it on Kevin Durant.
Love it. This is my quest, Derek, and I'm sticking with it.
Good, because you're going to really love what I've got to say now. The NBA Finals. I watched one game.
Was it game one?
It was game one. And when they lost that game, the way they lost that game, it was over. It was done. Even if LeBron didn't punch a whiteboard, as it was reported by a couple of people from ESPN. Even if he didn't punch it, guess what? It was over.
LeBron was checked out after game one.
Oh,
you did
course.
Not see the same intensity.
Of course.
He still got his. He was at over 25 points every game.
He was still distributing.
Despite having a broken hand, apparently.
Game three was at least promising.
But you saw it in his face. You saw it in his mannerisms. The way he was handling it
with
his teammates. He knew. And a lot of people, he's going to get criticized for that because, you know, I see Stephen A. Smith say, Michael Jordan would have never gave up, you know, in game four. But come on. It was a point where how can you blame LeBron James when he put this team on his back?
I'm surprised they didn't report a back injury for LeBron.
With a roster. Yeah, exactly. with a roster as bad as Cleveland's, he almost beats Golden State with 51 points, the best playoff performance I've ever seen in a game.
Well, take the 2 points out of it. If they win that game, LeBron doesn't need to hit that 50-point plateau. He ends with 49.
Either way. So, he has a 40-plus performance game in game one and almost beats this dynasty.
But it goes with the old man shtick again, because you had mentioned Stephen A. Smith said, Michael Jordan will never quit. Well, guess what? Michael Jordan played
LeBron didn't quit.
The 90s.
Michael Jordan played with Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. Sorry, LeBron quit 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, down by 30 in game four, down 3-0.
In an elimination game. I don't blame him one bit.
I don't either.
You don't blame him one,
LeBron did everything to get that team, as Louis said, to the finals.
Yeah, he doesn't. That's what I said. That's why I made the funny point. I'm surprised that they didn't report a back injury.
If he wants to congratulate Golden State while he goes to the bench with 4 minutes left in a blowout game four, that isn't an issue to me.
No.
With how well he's played.
Oh, especially in a blowout in game four of a sweep?
Now, if J.R. Smith wants to do it, that's a different story. But the way LeBron carried this team in the playoffs this year, this was the most difficult. Honestly, out of LeBron James's accomplishments, outside of coming back down 3-1 in the 2016 finals, getting this team to the NBA finals might be his second biggest accomplishment. Watch when LeBron James leaves next year how awful this team is going to be. They're going to be a lottery team once again. This is not a roster constructed to win championships. It just isn't.
Yeah.
Some of that was on LeBron. It was. He got Tristan Thompson paid. He wanted J.R. Smith to get his. George Hill's making $20 million, the third highest on the Cavs payroll.
Granted, they didn't give him that contract, but still.
So LeBron, it's part of that. LeBron also, though, didn't think Kyrie Irving was going to demand a trade.
Yeah.
He didn't think Cleveland was going to actually trade him, which he did not want them to do. And he also didn't think that he was going to need 4 stars to end up beating Golden State because Kevin Durant decided to join a 73-win team after blowing it against that exact team in the Western Conference Finals in 2016.
Yeah.
So you can blame LeBron. You can blame Cleveland for giving in and giving that amount of money to undeserved players, but it all comes back to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant and Cleveland do not hate on LeBron. Cleveland should hate Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant is forcing LeBron out of Cleveland. Because for any shot at winning a championship now, for LeBron James to beat that Golden State team, he's got to go find another team.
He's got to go to a team where he can have 4 stars.
You can blame Dan Gilbert. You can blame David Griffin. You can blame LeBron James. When it all comes down to it, blame Kevin Durant. This is all on Kevin Durant.
The narrative of Kevin Durant breaking the NBA.
Now, he broke it.
Speaking of Kevin Durant,
LeBron's got to heal it now.
Now, Kevin Durant actually had some things to say about that. About how he doesn't care that you think that he ruined the NBA. Very interesting little bit here. Ready? His quote, "My responsibility is to my skills. My responsibility is to myself. I'm not worried about the NBA. That's their job. They make too much money." Not
good. They should have blocked him from signing there.
"They ain't paying me enough to dictate the NBA." Also true. "I should be making more money if that's on me. My responsibility is to whatever team I play for. That other stuff, that's on y'all. The Bay Area allows me to be who I am as a city, to just blend in. And the team allows me to do the same thing. All I want to do in my life when I'm healthy is work on my game and enjoy the game and not worry about anything else. This place gives me that. This is the best place for me to just play ball, work on my game, and not care about that normal NBA superstars are supposed to care about."
You know what that normal NBA superstar stuff that you're supposed to care about? Responsibility of actually carrying a team. Not having to be not saying one night, "Hey, I'm going to be a role player today. I'm only going to shoot 14 times because I have three other all-stars on my roster." This is I have so many problems with that exact statement. First, him being able to blend in. That's exactly what he did in these
playoffs.
Sounds
like you have more problems with the second half of the statement more than the first.
Because I go back to the Western Conference Finals this year against Houston. They're down 3-2. That game six, Kevin Durant was a no-show. Basically the entire game. Klay Thompson had to have another historic Game 6 performance to get Golden State another Game 7. Kevin Durant, there were way too many times for being potentially the second best player in the NBA, who some argued first at the beginning of the season. There were way too many times where he had the Harrison Barnes role, where he was the fourth fiddle on this Golden State team because he didn't have to. For to be that talented, that's my point exactly. That proves everything, is the fact that he didn't have to do anything more than be the third or fourth fiddle on a team proves my point exactly. Yep, you do blend in because you joined a dynasty already. They were going to win championships with or without you. You know, maybe they wouldn't have won two back-to-back, but they would have beat LeBron again at one point or another. They would have won multiple championships. And the other part is him saying that other stuff that NBA stars don't have to worry about. That's like being the other stuff they have to worry about is like being a focal point of the team and actually having to put in 100%. They have to be the reason they win night in and night out. Now, it can't even be that way for LeBron anymore because of Kevin Durant. So I don't want any criticism when LeBron goes to Philly this year or San Antonio or joins LA with Paul George and, I don't know, Chris Paul. Because Kevin Durant forced all of this now. You NHL fans and you NFL fans who are going to get on the parody part of basketball, I don't want to hear it about LeBron when he leaves Cleveland this year. I'm going to feel for Cleveland. I don't
There's
want LeBron
no
to
parody.
Leave. But this, is, the
that,
way
right?
this is the way it's got to be.
That's the thing. There is no parody already. It's already gone. And you want to?
I mean, there's never been parody in the NBA anyway, but it's so lopsided now.
Yeah.
We need LeBron James to go somewhere else so we can have, because right now Houston's the only threat.
Yeah.
To Golden State. Not Cleveland. LeBron's not even a threat right now. LeBron's got to go find his own Houston, or potentially maybe it is Houston, to beat Golden State, because right now there is no one. There's one team that can win the NBA championship. And look, there's no parity at the top. There was parity in the NBA this year. The Western Conference was an amazing playoff run with new teams getting in. Minnesota, Utah made it. They were a 5 seed. There's parity around there. Houston took Golden State to 3 games. So there it was very competitive this year. There was 2 game 7s with LeBron James. Indiana took them to 7, and Boston took them to 7. And the Celtics are coming back next year. When Kyrie and Hayward get healthy, there will be teams. But no one can really, really push this Golden State team right now at the top. And that's... If Durant would have just stayed in OKC, you would have had...
I've got a
especially
hot
in the era right now, you would have seven or eight teams that could potentially win the championship. Right now, one.
I've got a hot take on that. I think it has to do with the fact that Russell Westbrook playing the way that he does is why Kevin Durant left.
See,
I think it's a style clash and an ego clash with those two. and that's why KD left. I think if Westbrook wasn't so ball dominant, I don't think KD leaves for Golden State. I think if Russell
Is Steph
Westbrook,
Curry not a ball dominant point guard?
He doesn't need the ball.
He shoots the most of any point guard.
Yes, but he doesn't need
Russell Westbrook honestly doesn't This is I understand your point.
He doesn't need to hold the ball is what I'm saying. Curry's biggest strengths are in shooting and pure scoring. They are not about assists, and Kevin Durant can be the guy that holds the ball. You saw it actually in that game 3 where he took over, and then in game 4 he had a triple-double.
So I've seen this criticism of Westbrook before. My take on it is, yeah, Westbrook can be ball dominant a lot of the time. There's extreme tunnel vision with Russell Westbrook.
That's probably why he didn't go to
but
Washington.
Nobody blames the lack of offensive structure. They never blamed. There was not one head coach in OKC that built a formidable offense, tried to control Westbrook, bring him back a little bit, and form an offense around those two. It was always iso ball, and more iso ball. And if Kevin Durant's even watched Russell Westbrook the past 2 years, he would know he's a more controlled player. Ask Paul George this year, who loved playing with Russell Westbrook. My take more on it is Kevin Durant did not want to be the guy anymore. He took the easy way out. And maybe Westbrook was a part of this, but everyone points to he was tired of Westbrook playing iso ball in OKC. You know who got yelled at by Steve Kerr and Draymond Green multiple times in the playoffs this year for playing too much iso ball? Kevin Durant. So he wanted to leave for a better offensive structure, which he did, but he's still the guy eventually being the Carmelo Anthony of that offense where he's a ball stopper at times, and Steve Kerr even said, trust your teammates, because he's slowing the ball down. He's slowing the offense down. So I get the Westbrook criticism to a certain degree, but Kevin Durant, a lot of the criticism you can make for Russell Westbrook, you could have made with Kevin Durant this year on Golden State. I don't agree with anything he did. None of it. He could win 30 rings in Golden State, and to me, it doesn't count for anything. I will not put him in a list of when we're talking about legacy.
I gotta reel you in here.
It's over
because Frank's gotta go. So say goodbye to the kids, Frank.
See ya.
There it is, my partner Frank R. Curry. He has left me here to close out the leftovers on my own with this. With this wackadoo Louie over here.
You've got me fired up talking about Kevin Durant. Those are my buttons right there.
Those are your buttons.
If you know how to get to me, just bring up Kevin Durant.
Well, yeah, Louie, I seem to have struck the nerve there.
And, you have.
You know, but again, my problem is, it's like you said, it's at the top with the NBA, and it's kind of a problem, and it's kind of why I'm pushed away from it. Because I'm annoyed with those kinds of teams like the Patriots or the Warriors. Now, my problem is the Warriors were fine with me until they signed Kevin Durant because you knew they were a super team that was not to be trifled with. And they responded by losing just one game in these last two finals, even against the best player in basketball right now.
Of all time.
I'm just going to even say at the very least right now. I notice you're like doing the looking thing. I think that they were lovable for the first 2 years, even when they blew the 3-1 series lead.
They were lovable when they were the 6th seed, getting to the Western Conference Finals before that against the Spurs. They were a fun team.
Lovable because they were doing something that not many teams were doing, which was drafting and developing.
I don't hate Golden State. You know, I don't hate them also for wanting Kevin Durant. If the second best player on the, you know, if Ovechkin said, hey, I want to come play for the Sabres, you wouldn't say no.
I'd be backing up a Brinks truck to him.
I'm okay with the best team winning in the NBA. I want that. I don't want, because the NBA really, the most talented team is the most entertaining to watch night in and night out. It's not like in hockey where it's fun to watch a Vegas team get all the way there because they can still be entertaining. To me, with the NBA, it's a star-driven league, so I'm okay with the best teams being at the top. The problem is that there really is only one of those amazing teams right now because everyone else is trying to play catch-up. And, you know, what would be an amazing team in the NBA 3 years ago now is a 7 seed, is a 6 seed. That OKC team this year with Paul George and Russell Westbrook, 4 years ago, they would have been a top team in the West. They were a 4 seed this year. And almost, at one point, they were a 7 and 8 seed. So I get that part. It's just I want justified parity, and right now we just don't have that. So if you don't like super teams, it's going to get worse for you because LeBron's going to be joining a super team this year. There's going to be other teams that are going to go for it, and You know, now at this point, we got to have more of them now. We need to have maybe five or six super teams just to make it competitive, because we hate it, and we hate that Kevin Durant left, but it's here now. So now what do we do to make it more competitive? And it's LeBron going to a team like Boston or Philadelphia, and it's Chris Paul staying in Houston and maybe Paul George going somewhere else. That's what we got to have happen at this point.
So Frank apparently doesn't have responsibility right now, so he's back.
Well, some stuff going on at BEN, and Joe Beamer there right now said he needs to be in there for another few minutes. So I'm just like, okay, I'll finish up.
Okay, cool. Let's finish up the podcast. Why not?
Yeah.
All right. I got a hot take. You ready?
Yeah.
This is your second hot take of the show. Crazy. Got a lot of takes today.
Hey, man, at least I didn't say that LeBron disappeared in Game 5.
That's true.
Yeah.
God, why do people give him money? Jackass.
So what's your hot take?
I don't care about the Triple Crown. It's just a bunch of rich white people with their horses, and I can never relate. There. Done. Good for the horse.
Did the horse want to win?
I mean, good Maybe. For the horse, I guess, but he doesn't know that he won.
He doesn't?
No.
That's my big takeaway. Does the horse know
Does
he
the
won?
Horse know that he did a good thing?
Did the horse want to win?
Yeah.
Did he get extra snacks?
Right.
I think,
these are my thoughts.
It's in...
Why doesn't the jockey get more love? We always...
Yeah, exactly.
Jockeys do get a lot
it's
of
a
love.
Weird it's a weird
a
thing we do.
But
they don't
get
the
recognition.
With horse racing, it's always about the
but
horse.
They do get paid a lot.
You know what, though? Why don't we glorify regular racing of, like, people? Like, Usain Bolt, like, more of that. Let's do more of that instead of recognizing the horses.
The problem is, though, with Usain Bolt and other runners, we only see them compete at the Olympics. Really, that's really the only time.
That's what I'm saying. Why not do a Triple Crown of people racing instead of horse racing? What the hell's the point? What's the point?
The Triple Crown is a really good accomplishment in its own right.
And I will go ahead and always say that. But I don't care about it.
And yeah, you,
I can't
myself,
relate.
I don't care about it too.
I will never have a horse
to race. But there are a lot of people, do because of the betting part of it. That's why people love it, because they can bet on it.
And that's dumb. I think that's dumb.
There's a that's why they call the Kentucky Derby the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. It's not because of the horses. It's because of everyone can bet on it. That's why. But that's why. Brayton and Joe were talking about it earlier today on Sports Talk Sunday. There's other kinds of those kind of Triple Crown /
Nailed
Grand
it.
Slam winners as well. You know, you've got the Grand Slam of golf. You got the Grand Slam of tennis. Tennis is very feasible. We've seen it happen.
But what that is. That's human.
You got the Triple Crown
for
baseball.
That can recognize their accomplishments. I'm glad betting is coming to the NFL and other professional sports. You want to know why? Because now I don't have to hear so much about freaking horses.
I don't think it's your beef. I don't think your beef is with horse racing. It's with the horse being the focal point.
No. My problem is with horse racing. It doesn't make sense to me. I can't relate
Does
to it.
Does NASCAR make sense to you?
No, but at least those people recognize that they won.
See, NASCAR's okay. The problem I'd have with NASCAR, suddenly they humanize the car, saying the car won. The car wanted to win the race. That it's the same thing with horses. The problem is because what they're racing on is a living organism.
Man, you're pushing all these words today.
With an organism, because it's a living organism, that's the focal point. That's the problem. It would be very weird if in NASCAR we were talking about the car and not really the racer.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe the horse racing issue, is that the jockey's not the one being discussed. It's the horse.
It's the freaking horse, man.
Horse, and then it's everybody who works with the horse. But it's not the jockey itself.
And again, you said the reason that the stage is bigger for horse racing is because of the fact that there's gambling involved. And again, I'm glad that you're going to be able to gamble on other sports, because that means that there's going to be less talking about friggin' horse racing and gambling on it, because of the fact that that's the only reason people give a damn about it.
And plus, too,
I think I
horse
found my
racing's
new
only
This is your quest.
Horse racing's
this is
only
my new quest. Like
plus two. Horse racing's only a real national thing for like 5 weeks out of the year, because you got the Kentucky Derby, which is early May,
and then if whoever
mid to
wins
late
the Kentucky
May,
Derby loses.
Then it doesn't
what?
Matter anymore.
Then it doesn't matter anymore.
But the fact that then you got the one horse who wins the Kentucky Derby, and then they win the Preakness, and then it becomes the biggest thing, because then the Belmont is all that. But it's only a real thing for that 5 week stretch, because now we're gonna talk about just
so
about winning
the Preakness. The most exciting 2 minutes in all of sports.
Well, I think it also takes longer than 2 minutes, but I don't remember.
Hang on. So they don't even run the same races?
No, because the Belmont's over a mile. That's why it's so difficult. I'm not kidding. Like the Kentucky.
That's like telling me I have to go score 4 goals in a hockey game, and then guess what? Next game we're playing posts. Yeah, some of the same skills are going to be needed, but guess what? It's not the same freaking thing. Now I'm more stupefied.
Yeah,
a word?
Or maybe
the shocking revelation from Derek. Ooh, the shocking revelation from Derek. He didn't know that the three tracks are all different.
Now I look like a jackass.
I bet I know who Kevin Durant's favorite horse is. No.
Ha. I get it. I get it.
Parody joke.
Plus the stage. Joe said it too earlier on Sports Talk Sunday. The stage was set for Gronkowski to win.
Yes, he was running on 6.9.
Yeah,
second time Gronks came in second this year.
Ha!
Sucks.
Ouch. Nice. I respect that joke.
I respect that.
Anytime you can.
No, but now okay.
Anytime you take the Patriots down.
Any Patriots jabs.
Okay, but now we're gonna. People are gonna talk about just if I win the Triple Crown for like what a couple weeks. And then we're not going to talk about horse racing until next May.
That's what annoys me about it.
But that's just what it is.
That's why I'm annoyed by it. Everything that you're saying is kind of just making me reinforce my point that I don't care.
Stop. That's why I don't care about horse racing, too. I don't really care for it.
All right. Well,
but people do.
I think I'm getting ridiculous at this point. I think it's a good time to end it.
Yeah.
Louis, thanks for coming on, as always.
Thanks, guys.
Louis,
fun.
By the way, is now the host of the Locked On Eagles.
Thank you.
Podcast.
Shameless plug.
The Locked On Network.
Thank you.
Where we talk to guys like John Ledyard, Mark Schofield. They're very trusted members of.
Kevin Massari of Locked On Bills is a good
Massari.
Guy.
Kevin Massari. Like, there are some respected people in the Locked On Network, and now Louis is amongst the group.
Thank you.
So, congratulations on that.
Appreciate
so
that.
So, listen to him there, and you can follow him at DiBiase.
Yes, sir.
Yes, that's right.
If you
right.
hate Kevin Durant as much as I do, hit me up.
By the way, yes, DiBiase spelled like the wrestler.
Yep.
I will never let that go.
Yep.
And it's L-O-E after that. So, Louis, thanks for taking the time, kid.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Frank, I would usually have something clever to say, but I think I just crapped out everything that I have in my brain. See, unlike you and Louis, who both walked out on separate points of this podcast,
sorry.
I have been here the whole time.
Yeah. Sorry.
So don't take any blame for it. Well, this has been the Leftovers Podcast on WGR550.com. I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank R. Curry.
Thanks, as always, for listening, for Lou DiBiase as well. Hey, we're into the thick of things. And guess what? Don't fear. This is going to be a little bit of a downtime in sports. We have 12 days to the draft. So we've got
after
our speculation.
After July 1st, we'll hit that downturn.
Not so much, actually.
Well, a little
free agency will buoy us for a couple
of
days, maybe even a week.
Well, that's why I said after. Not
and
like
then,
right after, but like just after in general.
And then training camp starts.
Yep.
So you're not really going to get too much of the downtime as you
think. Probably going to have like at least a good month.
At least 3 weeks, I would say.
Yeah.
A solid 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But then we could start talking about training camp.
Yeah.
And everything like that. And all the fun that comes with that.
Yeah.
So, hey, it's not that bad.
No, it's not. We're going to have fun.
Once you say that it's not that bad, that it means that it's usually that bad. But I'm going to be a stout believer in good faith that the sports world will not die on us in a 3-week period. Therefore, we will not have our topics dying on you.
Brush up on your baseball knowledge.
We could just fill some episodes like that, actually. So don't tempt me on that. Hey, man, you want to get someone to talk baseball here with us? I'm game. We got people. We gotta
wrap it up.
We got to roll. This has been the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcari.
And thanks, as always, for listening. Party hard like Ovechkin.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.